Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Welcome back. This is episode 457 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. I'm joined by my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
I'm not in a good mood right now. I'll tell you that much. With Sunday afternoon, we're maybe 20 minutes removed from the Yankees dropping the series finale to the San Francisco Giants 5-4. And I don't normally let a lot of regular season losses bother me. I'm pissed off about this loss on Sunday afternoon here. This is a game the Yankees should not have lost for many reasons. The reasons why they lost is what's really aggravating me. You know, like I said, I try not to let regular season losses, especially ones in the middle of April, bother me. But this one's bothering me because the Yankees jumped up 3-0 in this game. And then, you know, Lee hits the home run. It's 3-1. The Yankees have opportunities in the third and fourth inning. They had two runners on each inning to add to the lead. They don't do it, right? Well, now you're asking for trouble when that happens. And then what happens? Carlos Rodon happens. In the sixth inning, the guy does what he does best, and he pukes all over himself on the mound at Yankee Stadium. The Giants put one left-handed hitter in the lineup today, Lee, and he hit two home runs off of Rodon. He accounted for 4 of the 5 runs that the Giants scored today. And it was a wrap after that, because then it was in the seventh there. Then Goldschmidt, who is as shorthanded as anything, makes an error, leads to a fifth run. Jazz hits a home run to make it 5-4, but then the Yankees never get any closer than that. And they lose the game today. And I'm sitting here watching this game. All right, if they leave the runners on, whatever, you don't get too mad about it. They still have a lead. But this is what we talk about with Carlos Rodon every single time we come on here and record a podcast, is he is the ultimate Jekyll and Hyde pitcher. Today, going into the sixth inning, the guy allows one hit. Through five innings, he's allowed one hit. Granted, it was a home run to Lee, but still, you take a five-inning, one-hit performance from your starting pitcher every day of the week, twice on Sunday. I have no complaint about the way Carlos Rodon pitched going into the sixth inning today. And then Volpe doesn't come up with the play to start the sixth inning, and then you just knew at that point the snowball was going to run into the hill and the avalanche was going to come and crush the Yankees and Carlos Rodon. Because what does he do? He walks a batter, and then he hangs a fucking breaking ball to Lee, hits a 3-run home run, and you could have turned the game off from there at that point, because Carlos Rodon, time and time again, proves to be unreliable to this team, proves that you do not know inning to inning whether or not he's going to go out there and be good or just puke all over himself. And again today, we had to deal with the same thing where the Yankees, after the disaster on Friday night, which we will get to, really needed to come away with a series win here, and he just imploded again, as per usual, with Carlos Rodon.
Or the fact that he's in there, and he already struggled, gave up the home run to him earlier, Meanwhile, Boone just leaves him in there. Pull him out. But they pulled him out a couple batters later anyway. What are you really saving at that point?
I don't really have a... Go ahead.
I look at it that way because I have no faith in Rodon. It seems that the big moments come and he just comes up short. You know, Boone isn't obviously feeling the same way. But, I mean, he was getting up there in pitches when it was happening. You know, just... I don't know. What you got to do. But Rodon, you said, he's Jekyll Hyde. It's an issue every time he gets up there. It's almost like he doesn't have the confidence in himself at this point, you know, and he just he gives it up. That Volpe not making that play was a big part of that also. But, you know, he can't make every play. I get that. But, you know, you sit there, Carlos Rodon can't make every pitch, but there's been so many times where he's not making the pitch. It's adding up.
You have one lefty in the lineup. How you allow two home runs to the one lefty when you're a left-handed pitcher yourself is mind-boggling to me. You know, people look at the underlying stats on Rodon, and I was told by somebody that he's not as bad as his ERA. Well, what are you exactly watching that he's not as bad as his ERA is? Because his ERA sits at 5.48. He walks a ton of batters. He had three walks again today. One of those walks set up, really did set up that three-run home run. You know, sometimes you got to go out there and pick up a gold glove shortstop like Volpe is. He didn't make the play. It's not the easiest play in the world. You know, you want to argue whether the degree of difficulty and whether he should have made it or not. Fine, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and debate that right now. What I am talking about is the fact that then, instead of picking up your shortstop, you add gasoline to the fire with the walk, and you throw a disgusting cement mixer that sits at the top of the zone that this guy just absolutely demolishes for a three-run home run. And look, we want to get on Boone. I know you said to take. I'm not there with taking him out of the game at that point because his pitch count was still relatively in check. I think he was in the 80s at that point. So you're not looking. He shouldn't be tired. Or a major league pitcher, a veteran of his caliber, should not be tired at that point. And if you can't get lefties out as a left-handed starting pitcher, what use are you to anybody? So I don't have a problem with Boone leaving him in the game there. He's got to execute and be better than that, which he's not. He's clearly not. Every time we come on here, it's the same song and dance with Carlos Rodon. He does the same exact thing, game in and game out. You know what the... Now that that clicks in my head, I said Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the story as maybe I should be. I know there's two sides, the Jekyll Hyde and the Jekyll side and the Hyde side. I don't know which is the good person and the bad person, but he is seemingly more on the bad side of things than he is more on the good side of things. And then you had opening day. He backs that up with two bad starts. Then today you're thinking, all right, maybe he took a note from what Max Fried did in Detroit. He's going to settle in here, get the Yankees a series win, pitch really well. And he did for five innings. And then what does he do? Oh, the tummy starts rumbling for him. And then before you know, it's projectile vomit on the mound.
Well, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I believe Mr. Hyde is the evil one. So I believe that you're saying he's mostly Mr. Hyde. But no, it's you sit there and, like you said, it's day in, day out, same old, same shit. He comes out, he'll pitch, he'll you know, he looked really good in the first inning. And I'm like, okay, this seems pretty, normal for him. Usually the second, third inning is where it gets, you know, a little bit dicey with him. Is it going to happen? It seems more like, when is it going to happen with Carlos Rodon? This is the problem. He has this it's his job to go out there, give up the game. It seems like at this point, you know, they have the lead. You're struggling with him to get, and you gave up the home run to him. Why give him anything to hit to begin with anyway? If you're going to walk somebody, you know what I'm saying?
My problem with him there is his pitch selection in that situation. You're throwing your third best pitch and hanging it over the tops.
Yeah, it was a curveball that didn't curve very slightly.
He is just, it's unbelievable watching him do this consistently now. And once you get past the early part of the game, you think that you might actually be getting a good start out of him because he does settle down starting in the third inning. So usually if Rodon's going to puke, he's going to do it early in the game. You get through the early part of the game, you're like, okay, maybe he's actually going to do this. And then he's like, oh, wait, I got something for everybody. And that's what we saw in the sixth inning today. And he had eight strikeouts, and that's what people get hung up on is the stuff is really good. Oh, he struck out eight guys in six innings. Awesome. He allowed two home runs to a left-handed hitter, four runs, three walks. It's not a good performance. There's no way you can slice that and say that's a winning performance by your starting pitcher today.
No, like I said, I watched the first inning, and I feel like Carlos Rodon usually has a good first inning. And then it's the second or third inning that really gets pretty, you know, scary. Well,
statistically, it's the first and second inning for him.
Okay, well. So once we got to the fourth inning, I was like, all right, maybe we're going to be pretty good here. And I just wasn't. I wasn't ready for that, is what I got. It sucked. You know, you sit there, you watch that, and it's a blow to the morale. You know, you're watching these games, and it seems like it's repetitive, same thing day in, day out.
There's very little margin of error for the Yankees right now because they're not hitting home runs. I'm not saying Judge has cooled off, but the power's not there right now. It's consistently getting on base every game. The OPS is still around 1,200, which is ridiculous. But the other guys are not, you know, Rice and Goldie are doing their thing, but nobody else is really, like, helping out to a level that the Yankees need right now, okay? So the margin of error is just not there for this team. And what happens is that the starting pitching has been atrocious for the Yankees through the last week. So you look at Friday night, which I don't want to get into right now, but, you know, that was a complete shit show. Between the weather and Marcus Stroman, that's one of the worst viewing experiences I've had as a Yankee fan in my entire life, and that's spanning a lot of time, okay? And then you go to yesterday's game, and Will Warren actually pitched a really good game yesterday. He gave up two runs over five innings, which is exactly what you're looking for out of him. The offense, you know, bust out for a five-run inning in the fifth inning. Then Rice, after they creep a little bit closer, Rice hits the home run. Devin Williams actually found something after he allowed the first two runners on there. And the Yankees win a nice ball game. So now you're going into Sunday here looking for an opportunity to win a series after you just had an abysmal series in Detroit. Friday was one of the worst experiences that you can possibly imagine for a team and the fan base. Now you're in a position to win a series, and Rodon is doing it through five innings, and then it just falls apart like something you bought off of Timu. It's like, oh, look, I got a deal on this. And then like, oh, yeah, now I remember where I bought this from. That's Carlos Rodon, and that's what he did again today.
He's not the ace. He's not the pitcher that he was supposed to be when we brought him over here. And it's just a big letdown. And I think maybe we just need to come to reality and realize that this is who he is. This is the third year of the same shit going on. It's not that it was any different his first year. It's not that it was any different last year. It's the same thing, day in, day out with him. I don't know what to expect anymore.
This is what we should come to expect with him. If he allows four runs in a game, I guess we should just be happy with that at this point, because we all know that it could get a lot worse for him. But the problem is, is that there's, like I said, there's no margin for error for the Yankees, especially when the starting rotation, that somebody needed to step up besides Max. Max Fried was going to do Max Fried, you know, his role today or this season, regardless of who he was here or who wasn't. You signed him to do a job, and he's done that job so far, especially after Wednesday's game. You kind of, now you know what to expect out of him and the type of competitor that he is. Now somebody's got to assume the number two role, which is what you signed Max Fried for. You really think that that should be Will Warren's responsibility to do that when Carlos Rodon is on the staff? Now Clark Schmidt is coming back this week. You know, let's see if he can do it, because we clearly know at this point Carlos Rodon is not going to step up and fill that role. And that's a problem for the Yankees, because we're still months away from Luis Gil getting back. We know Gerrit Cole is not coming back. So you want, and then what? You're going to want the Yankees to make a trade for somebody in July? Well, guess what? It's April 13th right now. That's a long ways away here. So the Yankees are going to have to get innings and quality innings out of other people that are currently on this rotation. And Carlos Rodon, and I'll keep saying, as much as Mr. Hyde that he is, he has to step up and be this guy. And I'm going to keep hammering home that point until he actually does it. And if he doesn't do it, then I'll die saying it. because the Yankees are not going to survive this season with these putrid performances from Carlos Rodon. And yes, that's what today's was. It was another putrid performance from Carlos Rodon because he's three outs away from delivering you a winning game and he can't fucking do it.
I can't say any better than that. We need him to step up, be the person he was brought here to be. He was supposed to compliment Gerrit Cole. All right, obviously, like you said, Cole's not here. Fried stepping up in a big way, being fucking filthy, is amazing. And then all Carlos Rodon is just to not give that game up at that moment. And he does it. He does it time after time. And it's getting old. It's getting frustrating as a fan. I would be so pissed off if I was there today, you know? And
if the weather was nicer, I would have been there today. I've been circling this date on my calendar all for weeks now, but the weather just wasn't.
I'll be there Tuesday. And when they put up, and I wasn't thinking about the rotation in my brain. And then when they put up the projected starters, and I was like, oh shit, Fried's supposed to start on Tuesday. It was like a relief to me. But it's just, I don't want to come to expect that from what really should be the ace of the rotation right now. That's what he was brought. No, he's supposed to be the number two. He was supposed to compliment Cole. Cole goes down, you would hope that he would step up, want to be the ace, want to be the number one. He's not. He's letting us down is what the problem is. He's got to understand that. Don't be the guy that's crying in the you know, if you're going to cry in the dugout and be all upset that you're struggling and whatnot, that is the perfect example of what not to do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do that. I know it's easy for me to say as a fan, I'm not out there throwing a ball going up against major league pitchers, but what was it, a slider he left hanging over the plate that got taken, you know? That's one of your best pitches.
I think it was actually a curveball, the one that
this, the second one, not the first one. The first one, I think, was a slider, and I think that's why he probably went with the curveball the second time, because he's a little bit scared.
Well, where's your fastball then? If you dot that on the outside corner, he's not hitting it.
Exactly. It's what, you know, don't pitch scared to this fucking guy, and then you don't end up in this position. Or take the chance and nibble at the corner a little bit. And if you end up walking, you end up walking, but don't give the guy something he can mash out of the freaking stadium. Especially with two guys on base. You know,
it was just an absolutely poor pitch selection in that situation. Why you even go to your third best pitch in that spot when, like I said, go throw that fastball down and away. That's where you got to go with that. He's not going to hook it out if you hit your spot there. There's a lot less that can go wrong with you trying to dot a fastball in the outside corner than throwing your curveball, which we saw. So
no, I don't know. I was thinking to myself, like, I don't know if it was Reyes who was called, you know, but like at that point, Carlos Rodon is the veteran on there, and he would be like, I don't want to throw that. No, we're going to throw this. You get what I'm saying?
Well, Oscara was behind the plate.
Oscara, yeah. Yes, you're right.
Which I would DFA him immediately. I know everybody thinks it's a cute story. The Uber driver, he called his mom when he made the team. How dumb do you have to be in the eighth inning when you're down a run and the count is 3-0 and you're fucking swinging, you are not Aaron Judge. You're not Mike Trout. You're not Yordan Alvarez. You're not you're not Bobby Wood Jr. You are a backup catcher that by some miracle grace of God gave you this cute little story that you're made a major league roster. Put the bat on your shoulders and take a pitch. And that's as much on Aaron Boone as it is J.C. Ascara. So you want to know why I'm so mad at this game? Yeah, it's Carlos Rodon. It's leaving the runners on. It's also this. I'm so sick and tired of guys swinging at 3-0 that have no business swinging 3-0. You're the backup catcher, dude. Read the room and understand what your role is in that spot. What do you think? You're going to hit one out and be a fucking hero in that situation? No. Get on base. And Aaron Boone, leave it up to my guys. Well, maybe, Aaron, and this is why I talk about this all the time. It's not year one with Aaron Boone. It's not year two with Aaron Boone. This is his eighth year as manager, and he still doesn't understand what a fucking green light is to his a red light to his hitters is. Not everybody deserves a green light on 3-0. Not everybody should have a green light on 3-0. If this guy had, if this was even, I can make a case for Bellinger, even though he's been terrible, or Goldschmidt, or Rice, because these guys have power. This is J.C. Ascari, your backup catcher, 29-year-old rookie, and you're giving him a green light on 3-0? Just shows a low level of IQ, baseball IQ, on the people running this team. And then, yeah, you got a guy in there that thinks this is going to be my moment. They'll play this on Yankees Classics when I'm 60, and I can show it to my grandkids. Instead, he grounds out. And, we go to the ninth inning down a run. And I know it's Oswaldo Cabrera on deck. Maybe they pinch it for Wells. There's a lot of moving parts there. You don't swing 3-0 when you're the backup catcher. There's maybe a handful of guys in the league that I have no issue with swinging 3-0. Juan Soto is one of them. You can say Lindor deserves a 3-0. The way Pete hits, it's, 3-0. Gunnar Henderson, maybe. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani can have a 3-0. But not J.C. Ascara, bro.
No. And you could disagree with me, but I don't even pinch hit for Cabrera at that point. That was another thing that got me aggravated, because why are we putting Wells into the game, who has not been hitting very well? I know I was watching it on TV and...
trying to run into one there. That's
I get that, but like, what are they... He's not doing anything this season so far to make you even think that's going to happen. At least I think with Cabrera, you were going to get a runner on base.
Right. I don't have you could argue it either way because Wells has been scuffling a little bit, but I don't have a problem with leaving Cabrera in versus pinch hitting him in that spot. And then you go to the ninth inning, and Rice, I love Rice. He's been so good this year. But, dude, what are you swinging at? The pitch that he grounds out to third is a foot off the plate. It's ball four. You have Aaron Judge behind you.
Well, he was looking to be a hero too.
These guys don't understand situations. Your job is to get on base in front of Aaron Judge, not be the hero there. And then, yeah, Aaron Judge strikes out looking to end the game. And here's another. You want to tack on another reason why I'm so pissed off with this game. 2-0, where's the fucking pitch? Below his knees. What does the umpire call it? Strike. Completely changes the tone of the at-bat. Judge ends up striking out. 3-0 versus 2-1. You don't think that's a big deal? You really don't think that's a big deal?
Huge.
And how long? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is 10 seasons of Aaron Judge. 10th season that this guy's been in the big leagues. We still don't know how to call a strike zone on him. Again, how does that change the at-bat? I don't know. Judge is up 3-0. Maybe he gets a cookie, a guy that can and will and should get a 3-0 green light. Maybe now the Yankees walk off winners. 3-0, maybe then maybe we shouldn't mess with this. Let's face Cody Bellinger. At least now you're pushing. Now you have a runner in scoring position. Do you understand? I'm not saying you. Do people understand how that changes in at-bat, how that can change the complexion of a game? Or we're just going to arbitrarily call things and not learn the strike zone on the best hitter on the fucking planet after 10 years.
No. That's never going to change, though, until they do robo pitch, you know, robo umps or whatever. Because the umps aren't held accountable for that. I understand that they don't get their postseason games, but
what is it? I don't like the ABS. Oh, really? Because wouldn't you have loved Aaron Judge to be able to challenge that call in that spot?
That's so fucking outrageous that he would even say something like that. I understand. Listen, I get it. Everyone wants to be, oh, I'm a baseball purist. I want it this way. I want it that way. I want them to shut the fuck up because this is freaking ridiculous. I want to know how much money, just alone, and like Vegas, how much money is cost and changes hands because these umpires don't know how to call a fucking strike or a ball. Like, you know, was it yesterday? Was it yesterday was really bad? I mean, I was getting really pissed off. It wasn't today. I think it was yesterday. And it was almost like I was watching Angel Hernandez call the fucking game again. It's so frustrating, that aspect of it. And I understand you want the human element of it. There's the art of pitch framing, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. I get that. But to a certain point, it ruins the game. And it gets me aggravated because you watch it day in, day out, same old, same song. It's the same batter that it's happening to. The guy's gargantuan. He cannot dig down. This isn't golf. He doesn't have a tennis racket. How's he supposed to hit that freaking ball and you're calling it a strike on him? Which then it disadvantages Aaron Judge to begin with. He puts up insane numbers. Imagine if he actually got called fairly. He's tying Babe Ruth here and there. No, he would be leaps and bounds beyond and have these, you know, stat categories and all that shit. It's impossible.
So it's going to be a quick show today. I got to catch dinner, Rez, okay? My wedding anniversary is Wednesday. I'm taking my wife out to a lovely dinner as soon as we finish recording here. So I want to thank the Yankees for putting me in a fucking terrible mood before I go out and celebrate my 9th wedding anniversary. They say the days are long, but the years are short. I have no idea where these last 9 years have gone. Happy anniversary to my wife, even though she stopped listening to the show years ago, okay? But I'll still wish her a happy anniversary. I wish Chris was here so we could trigger him about the fact that he wasn't the best man and you were. But
he was indeed not the best man.
I wonder if he'll pick up on that when he produces the show. But
he was not the best man.
But we do have to close the show out on this. On Friday night, it was just an utter disaster that the Yankees and Giants even tried to play through that weather situation on Friday night. But that's what happens when you have all these interleague games and you're only facing a team once a year, and especially when they're on the opposite side of the country, you got to do what you got to do to get these games in. The Yankees lost the game in they played the top of the sixth, so they lost the game really in five innings because they didn't even get a chance to bat in the bottom half of the sixth. And I don't know what the answer is. You try to keep things as – there's an odd number of divisional teams. There's an odd number of teams in league. So I don't know. You're always going to have to play in interleague series. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you try to keep all the East Coast teams as far west or in domes as – I don't know what the answer is. I don't think there's a perfect solution. You obviously can't start the season any later because then you're going to be playing the fucking World Series at Thanksgiving and nobody wants that either. So I don't know what the answer is. It was just a really bad situation that the two teams had to find themselves through, made even worse by the fact that we had Marcus Stroman on the mound on Friday night. Now, do you know why Marcus Stroman wears zero on his back?
Because he's a zero?
Because no. That's the actual amount of positivity that he provides to the New York Yankees.
He's
provides
garbage.
Nothing to this ball club. Zero. That's what he is. Marcus Stroman is a giant zero to the New York Yankees, and that is perfect for him wearing number zero on his back. Because not only did we have to sit there and watch just a dreadful game and dreadful playing conditions, I watched one of the most dreadful pitching performances that I've ever seen in my entire life. He went from, I know we're not on NYYU today, so you can't see, but he went from here to here, to here, to here, and just kept going further and further and further and further and further and further off the plate. He wanted no part of being competitive in that game. He wanted no part of any batter making contact off of him in the game, and with good reason, because when they did, they shellacked him. He gave up 5 runs and 2/3 of an inning, and I saw somebody post today that the Yankees essentially forfeited the game on Friday because of the weather. No, the Yankees actually forfeited the game around 7:30 at first pitch when Marcus Stroman threw the ball for the first time. Because anytime the Yankees have Marcus Stroman on the mound, I think you can say that it's essentially a forfeit. This guy is non-competitive, and when he came up with the Boone, his knee's bugging him. It's bugging me watching him pitch every 5 days, bugging me. And I've watched enough baseball and have been in tune with this team long enough to know there's nothing wrong with his knee.
No.
Knee inflammation. Everybody's got inflammation. Anything and anybody can come up with knee inflammation. The reason why he had this knee inflammation all of a sudden is because he got his shit rocked on Friday night and they needed a fucking roster spot for Clark Schmidt. So they conveniently came up with this. And Boone said today that he doesn't think this is going to be a long-term situation. Pal, I pray that it's... No, I shouldn't say that. That's too strong. I will never wish injury upon somebody. But I hope that it is a long-term situation. And the fact that the Yankees... Not that he's hurt, because, again, I don't want to wish injury upon anybody. I don't want anybody to be hurt. But I want it to be a long-term situation where the Yankees are sitting back there and saying, sit this one out. You don't want to sit in the bullpen? You don't want to be a bullpen? We'll give you a paycheck to do nothing then. Sit on the IL for the rest of the year.
Nah, he's hot garbage. It's true. We were 10 minutes into the first inning. Obviously, we didn't get out of the first inning with him, but I was sitting there. I'm like, I wonder what mysterious injury he's going to come up with. I went to sleep and I woke up and I saw I had the notification on my phone. Marcus Stroman gets x-rays on his knee. I'm like, oh, okay. That's what we're going to go with. There's no way in hell any person could have any respect for themselves. Marcus Stroman shouldn't even be able to look at himself in the mirror in the morning after the bullshit he pulled, after sitting there and saying, I'm a starter, I'm not pitching out of the bullpen. Then all the pitchers and catchers report. His agent has to say, oh, well, they don't have to report to such and such a date, actually. Even though he was there, then he left and just didn't show up to training camp.
Because he was mad.
Because he's a douchebag. You pull this crybaby bullshit. I don't know whether he was trying to force a trade or just trying to be an asshole, but he succeeded in being an asshole. And then you sit there and then you do this. You're just garbage. There has been nothing good about Marcus Stroman this season. He was pitiful the second half of last season.
Since June 1st, and pitchers that have thrown at least 90 innings in the big leagues, he has the worst ERA. The worst.
He's garbage. And after the shit he pulled, you'd think he'd have to pull up his big boy pants and say, hey, let me go out there and let me give you one good inning. Look at this. Watch me be dominant. No. I don't want to say the word.
Let's keep it on the field. Let's keep it on the field here, okay?
I cannot stand him. The guy's taking more time taking pictures of himself in boxers showing off how big his package is, but he's got little balls because he can't go out there and attack a pitcher. He's got a nibble on the edges. He I pictured Marcus Stroman as a New York rat nibbling at the corners of a block of cheese. That is what he is to me, because he just does not want to hit the strike zone. It's, oh, let me hit the edge here. Let me just clip it a little bit. Oh, no. And then, like you said, he just got further and further and further away to where it was just like, don't swing. You're going to get walked. He's garbage. It is my 3-year-old son could tell that he's garbage. Marcus Stroman is pure shit. I do not want to see him on the mound again this year. And if the Yankees are up 20-1 and they put him in there, I'm still going to be pissed off, because I don't even think he earns the right to put on pinstripes. He's garbage. He's an abomination. I can't stand him. Can you tell like him?
Yes.
I don't like him.
Okay. I don't think you hit your feelings on that at all. We were live on NYYU when the Marcus Stroman signing broke. And I tried to talk myself into it. I really did. I tried to talk myself into it. But all the while, I'm saying to myself, this is not going to work here. It he is he, and it just oh my God. It just has not worked. He got the Yankees into June, pitched pretty well for the first couple of months, which, okay, granted, that's really when the Yankees needed it the most when Gerrit Cole was out last year. And then, like we said, since June 1st, his ERA, I think, is 6.93 or somewhere around there, the worst in baseball with pitchers that have thrown at least 90 innings. And now the Yankees are faced with a situation here where Boone is actually telling you he doesn't think it's a long-term thing. Bro, you better get together and figure out how that can be a long-term thing, because you certainly don't want him on the mound anymore. Come on, bro. You really want to sit there and watch him pitch for your team? The fans don't want him out on the mound anymore. It's just an unmitigated disaster. The whole problem with him is, like, you called him a rat, and rats nibble, and what do they also do is squeal, the other type of rat, and he will go to the players' union and say, oh, I'm not really hurt. Whereas, like, DJ LeMay, you kept his mouth shut about it last year. So if that's the case, hey, you know what? If you don't like the way that the sunflower seeds taste in the bullpen, go home. Because that's your role on this team. If we're up by 18 runs or we're down by 18 runs and we don't want, instead of having a position player pitch, you go in the game. If you don't like it, go home. You're useless to this team. And that's why he wears the number 0 on his back, because that's the exact amount of reliability that he provides to the team. 0. He is a big fat 0 for the New York Yankees. And I really, honestly, I don't know if you guys listening think that I am enjoying this, that I like coming on here ripping people to shreds. I don't. I want to be happy about this team. I want to say everybody's the greatest. But the fact of the matter is, and that in this weekend, we watched two shitty performances from two starting pitchers that have to be better than this. One that we all know is not better than this, and bitches and whines and complains about everything, and the Yankees bend the knee to him, and now he's hurt, and then he's going to want to come back, and the Yankees are going to acquiesce to him because he's going to be a fucking problem if you don't. And the other one who has to be better because you're paying him to be better and has and actually does have the stuff to be better, but instead would rather vomit all over himself on the mound when you have a chance to win a series after playing a pretty shitty series in Detroit and had an abysmal Friday afternoon. So that's why this show sounded the way that it did. But Will Warren was good. I have no complaints about him.
No, Will Warren was good. It was enjoyable baseball. I didn't fall asleep during that game. I fell asleep today. I missed one inning.
The Yankees can win 3-1, and we'd all be fine with that. The offense doesn't have to explode to win every game. Your pitcher can not implode. That could help the process here. But we saw that twice this weekend, and that's why the Yankees dropped another series. You know, they've been playing pretty terrible lately. You know, they dropped 2 out of 3 to Arizona. They dropped the finale in Pittsburgh. They dropped 2 out of 3 to the Tigers. They dropped 2 out of 3 to San Francisco here. It's just not been a good brand of baseball. The only silver lining in all this is that the Yankees are not buried at all in the standings, because Toronto won today, so they're 9-7. The Yanks are 8-7. Boston's 8-9, 7-8 for Tampa, and 6-9 for Baltimore. So they're all right there. The Yankees threw 15 games or a half game out of first place. And you know what? I mean, there's worse places that they could be considering how they played through the first 15 games of the season right now. So they have to get it going. The starting pitching has to be better. Somebody's got to look at Max Fried and go, I can do that, and actually do it. And you know what? Clark Schmidt's coming back. That's, unfortunately, Clark, I know that you have to kind of work your way back into things, but that has to be you right now. There's a lot of pressure on Clark Schmidt coming back on Wednesday.
Yeah. No, like, I don't think Rodon. Listen, I think Rodon's a lot better pitcher than what he is. I almost think it's just he comes up short in big spots. I really feel that's the way it is. I don't know if it's just the pressure gets to him. Schmidt, we got to see. You're hoping for good things for him. You're hoping he could get back to being what he was, because he was pretty lights out for us, you know. And we need, that's what we need. We need reliability in the pen right now, not the pen and the whatever. But I. Without that, this season's doomed. And I don't want to be doom and gloom, but then everybody that wants to see Yankees go out and trade at the trade deadline, if this starting rotation doesn't get it together, nothing's going to happen.
It's not going to matter.
And then, you know, because they're not going to go and make a trade. It's going to be like they're going to get somebody with a name that nobody wants anymore just to shut us up and placate to us. And that's what you're going to get. You're not going to go. They're not going to get anybody of substance.
Well, here's Carlos Rodon's career in a nutshell right here. All right, he was a rookie in 2015. He threw to a 3.75 ERA. And then named the next good season that he had. 404, 415, 418, 519, 822, 237 in his final year with Chicago. Turned that into a show-me deal with the San Francisco Giants. 288, got paid from the Yankees. 685, 396 last year, which everybody was like, oh, he had a good year. Bullshit. And then 519 so far this year. So tell me, how great is really Carlos Rodon? It's just that when he backs up 21 and 22, you think, maybe, except for, you know, we're witnessing what he is. And it's just, it's not good enough right now. And when you had, you know, Cole and Heel, you could hide him. And Schmidt, you could hide him. Or this year, you thought you were going to have Cole, Heel, Fried, and Schmidt, you could hide him. But now you can't hide him because he has to be the number two. And it's the problems with him are glaring more than ever. So, I mean, again, it's 4 starts. Can he turn it around? I don't want to throw in the towel on him, but I'm Rocky right before Apollo dies right now. Like, my hand is up in the air with him.
And how many years he's got left on his contract?
4. No, 3. 3 more.
We got to hope that he gets it together because he's not going anywhere.
No, you can't trade him. He's bad and he makes a lot of money.
Bad?
So.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's probably got a no trade clause anyway.
So hopefully the Yankees can turn things around here and get a series win against the Kansas City Royals coming up here, who they faced in the ALDS last year. Again, it's not going to be easy for the Yankees because the Royals have some really good starting pitching. It's going to be Seth Lugo against Carlos Carrasco, 7:05 on Monday. And then it's going to be Max Fried, our hero. Oh, I clicked the wrong button. Who is he facing on?
I can't remember the guy's name. I know he's got like a 408 batting average.
Yeah, it's Waka 420 against Max Fried at 7:05 on Tuesday. But, you know, Waka, he always – 420 Waka, could be a little – he's good. I mean, he's not terrible. I mean, that might be their best chance for a win, Fried against Waka there. And then Wednesday, which is my anniversary, happy anniversary to my wife, as I said earlier in the show, Chris Bubich, who's throwing through an 0.96 so far this year at 7:05 against the debut in Clark Schmidt. So it's going to be, again, it's going to be tough for the Yankees. You got to hope that Fried just backs up his start in Detroit with another gem, and the Yankees figure out a way to score more runs than the Royals in one of these two games. But, you know, it's not a good – I remember where we were on Sunday after the Brewers series to where it is now, and it's like night and day.
We got spoiled early on.
But hopefully you'll spoil us with a nice 5-star rating review here on your favorite podcast platform. And hopefully you are subscribed. We're going to be audio only for a couple of weeks here. We'll be back on NYY Underground on the 24th, I think it is, whatever that Thursday is. Let me see here. Yeah, the 24th. So from our next couple of shows are going to be exclusively audio. So subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you're checking anything out on the U, subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube as well. And tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We want to thank everybody for their continued support. We want to thank everybody for, Sam, you want to step in here?
What?
I got a little frog in my throat here as I'm trying to close out the show. We want to thank everybody for listening to episode 457. Sam, say goodbye.
See ya.